There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Welcome to another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. This is one of your co-hosts, Tony. We're very excited to have a great episode ahead for us this evening. We have a couple of beauties in the garage this weekend or this evening. We have a couple of members from Out at Windsong, a guy by the name of Matt Register. Say hello, Matt.
Or say nails. Say nails.
we're going to have a nails time here.
We're going to have a nails time. We also got Grant Bessie in the house here. So want to welcome you guys to...
Grant, say hi.
Go ahead. Say.
Hello.
we have an episode here where we're going to kind of continue down the path of talking to some professional athletes from other sports other than golf and just kind of hearing a little bit about how you caught the golf bug and how you like to work on your game, some things that you do in the off season, what you plan on doing after you're done playing, some other things that you're working on over the summer, and just kind of have a good conversation here today. So
and get ahead of it too. A couple guys that have at least have I played with you yet this year?
Yeah, me, you, and Andy played with Reg that one day.
You got to talk in the mic.
Oh shit!
Oh yeah, we did play the one day.
Yeah, we played in the Wednesday.
Couple of guys that. Game. Like, if there was a most improved player of the award at Windsong this year, I would say if Vegas had odds, these two would both be in the top five.
Because I would 100%
agree with
that.
Reg just keeps taking everybody's money during Friday game. Bessie's accusing him of being a sandbagger. Well,
I mean, we kind of got our eyes here on the Stampede this year. We're going to try to make some.
Are you guys partners?
Yeah.
For the member.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are we tipping the handicap scales at right now?
Well, mine's a 3.9.
And it should be about a 1.9.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Exactly. All my scores I've been adding in have been legit. Like,
yeah, you're definitely not a bet. You're just playing a lot better.
No,
right?
No, I'm not on the handicap committee radar yet.
Yeah, I didn't tell Tony this. So
yeah, no.
I started a handicap committee at Windsong Farm.
okay,
on that Wednesday.
Yeah, it's owned, run, and operated solely by me, and I just make sure that people put in their scores accurately. And
so you're checking up on people after you play with them.
Yeah. Well, it's important. I mean, think about it, man. Like, you get into members, you get all this stuff, and you get sandbaggers, like, you're actually playing for money. And I think it's just, it's disrespectful, and it's not, you know, part of the game that we want to play. And so I'm started the handicap committee, and I'm making sure people put their scores in, and Bessie and Reg did that day, and I did my job. So,
I mean, first day we had the handicap committee, kind of had a little, was it a 4 or 5 on the first hole with
Andy Thomas?
So,
did.
We don't know. I mean,
yeah.
What do you mean? What
you know? He's
explained.
He's what did he 3-putt?
And then he's
said,
not.
He said it was a 4. He just gave himself the putt for a 4.
Yeah. So
it was actually a 5.
I'm totally fine with somebody if they want to have an artificially low handicap. That's totally fine by me.
A reverse bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was. I guess technically it would have been a reverse bag.
Yeah. I don't know.
But still, like, as the handicap committee, that's what I'm there to prevent.
It was vanity handicap.
Yeah. And so I think we finally settled it on hole 16.
Maybe.
Of the match is when we finally settled it, but
he bought us a few Gatorades and
yeah, kind of called it good.
Talked about it throughout the whole day.
Bessie, so. what are you tipping him at these days?
Well, I was down to a 1.1, and then starting on Friday, things have gone very south.
That's okay.
So yeah, Friday we shot 89 after having a tap and birdie on 1 and a lip out from 6 feet on 2.
Explain. So are we just losing some tee balls or what's happening here? Just penalty
shots?
That's
not you. That's just a bad round. That's not you.
We got a new putter in our hands.
We do have a new putter, and we're still figuring out. But that's, as you saw the last couple of days, that is not necessarily – it's an issue, but it's not the only issue. And then, yeah, so after that, 3, 4, 5, 6
Roots.
6 bogey.
Not nails.
7 hey, double. Like, it was just, it's gone. It's very
well,
solid.
Dude, if you're playing so well, man, I mean, honestly – Your game has improved significantly over the last, 2.5
For
years?
Sure.
When you first joined Out at Windsong, what was your handicap?
I'd say probably around like an 8.5.
Yeah, so you're pushing double digits, and now you're as low as 1.1. I mean, it's a huge improvement.
What do you think it is? Do you think it's the you're playing a tough course, so you're naturally going to get better at golf, and you're playing with, you know, other members that are really good at golf. You're playing more competitive, like all the above. What do you think it is? Because a lot of people that listen to this podcast, that's what they're trying to. They're club golfers. They're trying to get better for their weekend games with their buddies. You know, like,
sure.
What is it? How do you go from an 8 to a 1 in 2 years? That's insane.
I think, like, once I realized, okay, I joined this club, like, there's a lot of good players out here. I've met a lot of good guys. When it comes down to it, I think it starts with actually practicing, going out to the range, like, going to the short game range, hitting chip shots, hitting, you know, figuring out what works in what situation, working on your putting, not just going out, they're expecting to shoot, oh, I'm going to shoot 75 just because I'm an athlete and I can do that.
Yeah.
You actually have to put in some sort of work and have some sort of prep and have some sort of, like, routine that you can fall back on in order to be at least somewhat consistent.
I mean, you're newly retired, right, from professional hockey. So that has to play into that you have more time to dedicate to actually working on your golf game, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, when I was playing, like, during the summer, we'd work out and skate and stuff, and that would take a little bit of time, but...
All the stuff that Reggie's doing.
He doesn't do shit.
I'm doing all the right things.
his workouts for the summer are walking wind song. That is the equivalent of.
Yeah, I asked him to ride the other day. He's like, walk? I asked him to ride the other day. He's like, I got a tourney next week, man. I got to walk. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay. Well, like, save the legs. If I'm walking out there wind song and then I just got to watch what I'm eating, like, it's good. It's good for
you. You just have a great metabolism, or you just.
Not really. I mean, I do really got to watch what I eat.
Carrying a 30-pound bag and walking 7-8 miles doesn't hurt.
That's what, Reg, I mean, your background, too. You're a big hockey guy. You're playing in the AHL right now, right?
Yeah, American League East Coast, yeah.
Down in Texas.
Yeah, Texas Boise, yeah. Canadian born, yeah. You know, I've been playing. This is my 12th year. Just finished playing my 12th year pro hockey, so. Yeah, it's been just quite the journey, honestly.
What's the deal with hockey players and golf? Is it just because the two off seasons coincide, or is there a lot, you know, is it having soft hands? You know, what's the...
I think it definitely starts with the kind of the off season. You know, when you're done playing hockey, it is summertime. You want to get out, you want to hang out with your boys, drink a couple of beers on the course. And I just think the movements itself, like, for me, it's kind of fucked up. It's kind of fucked up because I was left-handed in hockey, but I play golf right-handed, which is a complete opposite move. Everyone's absolutely bewildered by that. I don't know why. Like, can you swing a golf club left-handed? Absolutely not. It's embarrassing.
You got to talk on the mic, Bessie.
I'm really fucking this up.
It's all right. First podcast.
Yeah, first timer. But, yeah, I'd say there's definitely a camaraderie of, like, being around the guys on a golf course. And I know, like, Jamie's talking about, like, the hang that is very enticing to someone who comes from a sport like Reggie and I played. And just being outside and being able to hang out and you're not trapped in an ice rink for 8 hours a day.
I think it's a really key point, especially I think we have a situation at Windsong where we're all members that is very, very unique in the golf world in that I played, you know, competitive sports as well, and having an opportunity to feel like you have not a team, but you have buddies that you can go play with at any moment. I mean, we have probably 50 guys that, or maybe even more, that we could all play with pretty much at any time and have a, you know, you're going to show up, you're going to have a good game and have a really, really good time. And I think it's just something that is not common in the golf world for sure. So that's something that I really was striving for. And when I got to Windsong, it was something that I really appreciated a lot. So I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but.
How do you find Windsong? Well, I mean, I know you're kind of from the area, but you were like, what is your story?
I was like, came out to Minnesota and one summer and just kind of didn't leave because, you know, Minnesota's a big hockey hub in the summer. And, you know, we got the Beauty League, you know, it's kind of. No, this is Violent Gentleman from Idaho. Yeah, it's like a couple ex NHL alumni enforcers started the company. So down in California, but came down to Minnesota and just kind of didn't leave. I mean, it's a pretty special place to spend the summer. You know, I mean, you know, I So I knew Ryan Malone, Bugsy, and he brought me out to Windsong a few times, and he's like, well, why don't you just join out here? And I was like, it's kind of a no-brainer for me. So, you know, I ended up doing that, and it's just one of the best decisions I've ever made, to be honest. I mean, some of the friendships and guys I met out there, I mean, it's a special place. Like Tony was saying, like, it's, you know, you're not getting that at a lot of golf clubs here, you know, around Minnesota or maybe, you know, the U.S. or whatever. I mean, just straight golf and Windsong, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, those, like, friendships and memories you'll make out there will last forever, so.
Yeah, and you play, I mean, I feel like last year I saw you two playing literally every single day.
What did we play last year?
How many
year?
Rounds?
So you had like a 29 out of like 30 days or something last
in,
year.
In
didn't we,
or do June or like July was one of
yeah,
the two.
Yeah, like something stupid.
Before the day that we drove up after the 4th of July up to Winnipeg to go to the Stampede, mm-hmm. I think it was 38 days in a row.
Yeah.
You guys played 38 days in a row.
Well, that it would be open, right? Because we're closed Mondays. But
yeah, but like.
No, we'd find somewhere to play.
Yeah, we'd find somewhere else. Like, we'd go to play Pioneer Creek. Yeah. We'd go play Pioneer Creek.
We'd find
Creek
somewhere
still
to
go
play.
Just like get a case of beer and just go play Pioneer Creek on like a Monday.
Yeah, I think
if anybody wants to figure out how to get better at golf, that's a really, really good way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, play 38 days in a row.
Yeah.
And then I think it was one day off when we drove to Winnipeg. And then I think it was another like 26 days after that. Like, it was something like ridiculous.
Well, we had like. Like, Best wasn't working yet. He just finished playing hockey, and, you know, I was still playing but had the summer off, so we were just, you know, might as well go and play golf.
How many rounds did you guys log in your gin app then? Are we pushing 70, 75?
Oh, wait,
is there a way
to
look that up?
Yeah,
there is, yeah.
Do you have your gin app?
We're definitely pushing.
You got to be over 100.
For the whole summer?
No, the whole year.
For a whole year.
Yeah.
For like 2022.
I think we got to be way over that.
So Bessie's at a 2.3 right now with a low of 1.1. So if you go to stats and you go to 2022 scores, these are just ones that you logged. So 79
rounds.
And I would guess that you played more than that because these are just the ones that you logged.
For sure.
Low of 72. Already beat that this year.
Yeah, we had a nice round one time. I played in two Friday games. I have a 71 and an 89, so that's golf for you.
Back-to-back rounds
in
on a Friday game?
In a nutshell.
That's
great
well,
one day. And
that's a fun topic, event. Too, because, yeah, go to the 2022 scores.
What, and then do this?
Yeah, we'll just click them all up for you.
I don't know what's going on here.
Let me see it.
Tony will figure it out for you. What, because you've done that a couple times too, right? Like, what's your low already this year? I know you shot like 75 or something. How many is it?
79 rounds. My low this
exact
year.
Exact same.
Yeah.
It's a little shady.
I think my low this year was probably 74 on Friday there.
Yeah. And what, what's your high, you think? In something in the 90s?
No, it's not 90s. Probably
that's only Bessie.
89, yeah.
Okay, so 89. We'll call it 89.
I shot 90 this year.
I had an 88. That was my high.
So what's the what do you think that is? Right, like I always have this conversation with buddies about, you know, handicap indexes and scores, and, you know, you'll go out and fire an 89 or like something in the low 80s, just like, what the hell's going on? And then like, you're fully capable of shooting a 74, and then some days it just breaks apart and you shoot a mid-80s or high-80s round, like, what is it?
For me, especially just based on...
And I do this too,
this
by the
past,
way,
like,
curious.
3 days, is that even when I started out, like, decently hot and then had, you know, a couple bad string holes, like three doubles in a row, which I don't think I've ever done before Friday. I think it's just a lack of focus after that.
Yeah, you just lose
it. Just
it.
Like, all right, this round's fucked. Like, whatever happens, happens.
I think it's a key aspect of kind of... people that grew up playing competitive golf by comparison to guys who are true amateurs or guys who have not really played a ton of competitive golf, that it you can lose your sense of focus really easily. And I think that's kind of where you can see people who have had a lot of experience where instead of, you know, you hit one or two bad shots and you're sometimes people's rounds completely get derailed. I know it happens to me sometimes. Yeah. Whereas like if I'm locked in and I'm hitting good shots, like I'm concentrating on every shot, but if I hit a couple bad ones, if I'm not conscious of it, I can, my round can get derailed really easily. So that's just me personally. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean that, I guess that mental side of things, you know, like you hit a bad shot, you try to shake it off, you hit another bad shot, you know, and just kind of slowly goes downhill, and then either just say fuck it and wash it, or you just grind it out. I don't know. Try to make it better. I mean, it's just like it is what it is, right? Like, you know, we're not pro golfers. We don't play in the tour. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but like the game's hard. Like, it's hard.
I mean,
like, and Windsong is a hard golf course too. Some of those pin locations, like, yep. You know, it's not easy with the wind out there too. And, you know, when the greens are kind of dry or rolling fast or, you know, pins might be tucked. Like, there. Yeah, it's tough. It's not easy.
Even for me, like on Friday, like I had a decent start. Things kind of went south and my mindset completely changed. Like, oh, I'm going to try and shoot a good round here to like, oh, 20 club. I'm just going to try and make a two.
Yeah, so you're hitting shots maybe you wouldn't even try.
Yeah, it's like I'm just going to try and make a birdie and, you know, maybe get a skin or try and make a two on one of the par threes and try and get my money back that I'm probably going to lose in this game. So it's just like completely mind shift change, whereas if you would have, instead of going double, 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 you just make, you know, maybe par, bogey, par, and then you're like, all right, I'm still.
What about like if you're playing a bigger money game, do you have a different approach to, you know, a lot of times – I personally think people play differently when they're playing for money too. You know, if it's a almost like more of a match play aspect where you try to hit a shot that you know is not what the best shot is to hit to make your best score on a round, but you know, like on that particular hole, like the guy I'm playing against is in the middle of the fairway. Like I need to get this on the green somehow to try to salvage a par or try to get it up by the green when maybe you should just be pitching out sideways or that's something that I find.
I think I realized that mostly when I played a banker game against Hillen.
Yeah.
He, like, refuses to, like, hit a bad shot.
Yeah.
He is so good. And you get in the wrong position, and we're playing zero strokes. So it's like, okay, if I'm on a position, I have to try and make up for this somehow. And, yeah, you will try and do something that maybe if you're trying to shoot, you know, your best career round, you're not necessarily going to do that.
Yeah. Grant does not want to talk to you.
No, he doesn't.
I don't know how close to be this thing.
You want
to
be able to hear yourself.
You're going to get involved.
Your ears.
I'm so
you're going to be fine.
I'm so soft.
What? Let's talk about the bags here, because I do think this is a really fun topic. Before we started, we were just talking about how mine's already changed like four times, although I am settling into it a little bit.
We did have our goals episode, and one of Jordan's goals was to not change his bag a single time throughout the year. Like,
are we talking like golf clubs in the bag or like physical bags?
No, so golf clubs.
Because we have a guy over here who's been known to change his physical bag about five times a year.
Before we get into it, I want Jordan just to quickly recap how many times he's changed his irons and how many times he's changed some clubs.
I don't know why we have to do this. Because I do feel like
what aren't we satisfied being? What are you, like a plus one, plus two? What are you? Like, why aren't
we
satisfied?
Why
do we got to tinker? Why do we got to tinker with things?
I feel like I've just had some really good rounds under par, and when they fall off, I'll be back to where I probably should be.
So that's
the biggest thing for me. Well, no. So, like, I hated the T100s. I just didn't like the irons. And I've gone through a dramatic shift, just like Grant has, I've gotten a lot better in a short period of time. Like, I had this convo with my buddy the other day. He was like, dude, I remember when you said it, like, 2 years ago, you're just going to commit to getting good at golf. And that's what I did. I was like, I'm either going to be what I am for the next 10 years, or I'm just going to commit and, like, I quit playing all these other sports and doing stuff and did the whole simulator bit that we got here. I'm like, I'm going to get really good at golf. And I didn't know what I didn't know when it came to clubs and tinkering, and I just, like, bought a bunch of stuff. I mean, like, what do I like? So I would go get fit, and, you know, one person says one thing, one person says another thing. So I started to dial in what I really liked. And then once I started to figure out, you know, the type of feel and everything that I liked, then it was like tinkering to figure out how to get perfect. And, you know, golf's that game that you're never going to get perfect, but you feel like you can always get a little bit better. And so I just, you know, so to start the year, to answer Tony's question, I had the Mizuno Pro 220s, I think they were, 223s.
Smart.
I did really like them. I liked the feel of them, but I just felt like I didn't have, I don't know what the wow factor, like I loved them, but it wasn't like, man, I love these clubs. So then I went to the Titleist T100s, and for a while, like when you hit the sweet spot on those things, man, like there's nothing better. Like I would still say hitting the sweet spot of a Titleist T100 or in most Titleist clubs, just even the driver, the TSR3, when you hit the center of those club faces, there's just something that just feels different about it. And then I started not hitting the center of the club face.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many times are you really hitting
the center? Exactly.
Sweet spot on,
like,
the
T100, I'm good, but I'm not, like that level of good. No, not a lot. And so all of a sudden you don't hit the sweet spot, and your 7-iron that went 175 when you did now goes 150, and, like, I'm not good enough to have that.
Right.
And so in between waiting for my Miras and how much I hated how much I was missing the T-100s, I walked into second swing and grabbed a set of Strixon.
I just saw Grant's face, and I know exactly what he's thinking. We just talked about how you don't hit the center of the club face on T-100s.
I don't.
And
I
now do, you're literally going, now to going to the hardest clubs going to hit.
Oh, really? Because those feel really good. Like, yeah, I feel like
sure,
I miss them a lot.
In the center of the sweet spot, but...
Yeah.
No, I feel like
seen,
I miss them.
I haven't seen your mirrors.
They are a cavity. They're a cavity. They're not, yeah. They're not a blade.
Those look pretty sweet.
They're more difficult to hit than the T-100s.
100%. Like,
those look pretty
well, sweet. I would tell you that I've already shot around in the 60s with those, and they are way more forgiving than the T-100s I had. And to be fair, the... you know, I don't know what the loss...
If you're shooting in the 60s, I'm not going to say anything about it.
You know, I'm like a Japanese golf...
You're a big mirror guy?
Oh, he wants them, but he's like, you know how many times he's like text me and been like, or send me pictures of like mirrors? And he's like, should I pull the trigger here? I'm like, man.
Dude, do it. Be a mirror guy with me.
Dude, the mirror came out with a collab with Grayson.
Yes.
And they have the Grayson Wolf stamped in the blade.
Yeah, those are your two brands, dude.
They are. Like, that's all I care about in this world are those two brands.
Dude, get a set of these. I got the website for you.
Yeah,
I think he can find the website.
I should probably figure it out.
I got the website for you.
Those are pretty sweet clubs.
They're sweet.
Yeah, so those are Mitsubishi Chemicals.
So like when you're tinkering with all this stuff, are you getting rid of your irons, or you just got like a
stash? I effectively have like a direct deposit account at Second Swing. I mean, that's how often I go there and swap stuff out that I just always have store credit. I'm getting close to being done, honestly. But, so I've tinkered a lot. Now I feel like I'm getting close to what I like in the bag, and that's what it is. I don't even remember where we started.
I'm sorry that I derailed our
episode. It's okay.
Episode, but
it had to be addressed. I'm kind of glad Andy's not here to – he would just berate me. But –
Andy's not one to talk.
Yeah, he's a tinkerer too. Like I'm kind of bad too. But like,
you remember when he had that lab putter?
He's doing lab putters. Then he's.
Oh, yeah.
I had one of those too.
I told him like so bad. Me and Grant were playing with him one day. I'm like, man, you should get a hybrid. And he's like, no, these aren't good. Next day he's got a hybrid. He's in the hybrid on the range. And I'm like, well, what are you doing, man? Like,
yeah, he's in.
You could
TSR.
Talk that guy into doing it.
But here's the thing: like when you do find that club that you love, like it never leaves your bag. I keep on going back to this original Betty that I have, the first one that got fit for me. It just keeps on finding its way back, and then I go, okay, maybe this is the one. Like, I've tried to go, you know, all these other putters. Maybe this is just the one. I'm actually getting there.
I think the one that you have sitting in front of you was one, too. That was a pretty sweet one.
Yeah, I was having a really good round. I was 3 under through 9 with that, making everything.
Like, what does getting there mean, though? Like, are we talking like we're one putting every hole here, or like what are we?
No. I just mean getting there in terms of like, yeah, I love this club. I'm not joking. I was probably a 10 handicap 4 or 5 years ago. Like, you could have put any club in my hand and be like, oh yeah, this is nice. And then now once you start to learn your swing and you take in all this content that's out there on YouTube or wherever, you really do start to feel the differences in the clubs and how they play and what plays for your game, and just so many factors.
I have a question. This is kind of going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but being professional hockey players, is there an aspect of like how you choose your equipment in hockey the same way that you choose your equipment in golf? Like in golf, I really do think it's a big thing about people's games and like what they like to tinker, they like to kind of try different things. Is it similar in that way, like with like say a curve on a stick if you're an offensive juggernaut, or is it just not that way?
So I guess it kind of depends for me, Reggie. You can speak for yourself, but in terms of like you think like equipment that you see, like your skates, your stick, that's something you tinker with more. I think more of like protective equipment. Once you find something you like, you will not change.
Like shoulder pads, or you're keeping them
like
forever.
The shin pads I wore when I played were the shin pads I wore when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like, so they lasted for, I don't know, 10 years.
It's because they feel and fit to
your
body, right?
It's just what you know. And like, it's not like, and if you put something else on there, it feels so damn weird. But in terms of like sticks, like, yeah, you tinker with, you know, blade, not to get like super specific, but you can tinker with blade heights, blade thickness, stiffness of blade. You know, you can tweak your curve a bit. You can tweak the kick point in your stick, flexes, heights of your stick, There's a lot of different things that can go into it.
I mean, I think True is making like hazardous, right? Because their True Temper owns, obviously makes golf club shafts as well as they own.
Oh,
True.
They're getting into hockey.
Do they own True Hockey?
I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I was unaware That's of weird. That. I know CCM had their like collaboration with TaylorMade for a while. Because like when I was in college, they had like the Rocket Balls TaylorMade driver, and then it would be like on the CCM stick, it'd be like CCM, I don't even remember what it was like powered by TaylorMade, which I thought was fucking sweet at the time, because that's like when I got into golf. So I'm like, yeah, like
I think they're still.
I'm pretty sure there's a hockey stick that's a hazardous.
I'm out of the game now, so you're gonna have to talk to the big maple.
I mean,
over there,
honestly, for me, I'm super old school. Like my gear, if you looked at my hockey bag, you'd be like, holy shit, you
wear bad.
This. Yeah, it's like. I've been wearing old. The same shoulder, like, it's kind of old, but like.
Your shoulder pads were like the 70s.
Yeah, my shoulder pads, the caps on my shoulder pads are illegal, but I wear them anyway.
Do you think I could walk you out on the ice?
There's no chance.
0% chance?
We did this a couple of years. We did this a couple of years ago. Grant tried to do it, and he's like, oh, we're going to do some one-on-ones.
Was Grant good at hockey?
I was at one point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Not were anymore. You Mr. Hockey, Minnesota?
Well, yeah, there was.
What's that?
Were you Mr. Hockey, Minnesota?
Yeah, 2013.
2013.
Maybe like the most impressive state championship hockey game of all time.
2013.
We're bringing this up now. I thought this was a golf podcast, not a high school hockey podcast.
Hey, no, sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. It's apparently Jordan doesn't know this. So.
Yeah, that wasn't sarcastic at all. Yeah. I didn't know Grant played hockey.
Yeah, no, we had a good game. I think Johnny was there back in the day, 2012.
Did you guys go to high school together?
Yeah, we did. Same grade.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was it's crazy to think about it. It was, 11 years ago? We won the state championship, and there's, like, a whole other story that goes along with, like, Jack Jablonski and that whole
season. Oh, that was all the same year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was just,
he was on the JV at Benilde.
Yeah, so he was up and down, varsity, got injured, spinal cord injury, diagnosed quadriplegic, and then we had the rest of our season.
That's right. That was your team.
Capping it off with the state championship at the end of the day, so...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, obviously, I think Lou Nanny said it during our prize, like, triumph comes from tragedy or something like that. I don't remember the exact verbiage that he used, but, yeah, it was a whirlwind year, being 16 years old and having to deal with all that.
I bet. Sorry, I didn't mean to be a downer I was just trying to tell Jordan that you're a good hockey player.
I know. It was a little sarcastic. I think I picked up on that.
I think if you saw me play right now, you'd be like, this guy played hockey at a decently high level.
That's all right.
So I've skated one time since I quit playing.
So you tried to walk Reg and you couldn't?
Let's be honest here. Okay, in hockey, like a one-on-one's a very difficult thing to do as a forward.
Yeah.
It's hard to get around
like
the
guy. You're not getting around me, man. Too big.
How much ice do I have though? Like,
I mean, we can take a one-on-one down the whole ice, man.
Oh yeah,
try
whole ice. I could absolutely, yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
Hey, go, I'm on your side. I think you could take him.
I know I could.
Just right between the legs, dance around.
I would do so. So no, I'm a
just
lefty.
Gonna watch your
Reg.
Body. I'm gonna push you over, man. If you come,
no, I'm way
here,
too
probably,
quick.
Honestly, the outcome here would be like you're coming down the ice, you wouldn't see it, and I'll swipe at it, knock the puck off your stick, and stuff.
I got a pretty long stick though.
So do I.
Fair. We're so gonna do this winter. It's gonna be a great.
I don't know where this is going right now.
I might have to fly home and for one day and do one-on-ones.
No, I'll come down. Maybe I could join one of your practices.
On the pond on 18 at Windsong.
Yeah,
this is where
we should do that.
Oh,
yeah.
Do we do a? Can we skate out there?
They have they have a
pond
tournament.
Hockey
pond hockey tournament.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Is this our little 3-on-3?
No, 2-on-2. Me and you versus. Yeah. Tony and
I'm not skating.
I'm not done. I'm not done yet. I'm not done.
I will go bar up souvenir for a lucky fan. That's
going bar up.
Bar up and out.
You're going bar up.
Bar up's into the stand.
That's yeah, all you want. Bar
souvenir
down.
For a lucky fan.
Yeah, I'd whack the puck off your stick so quick, man. You know what's going on.
Yeah, right, Reg.
Hey,
I give Reg one of these. Sometimes I give him one of these.
I think you'd bag him in a fight. He talks like he's tough. He's 6'4", 235 pounds. But this guy doesn't fight.
And his nickname is the Big Maple.
I could easily defend myself.
Reggie's just wearing shots off.
Like I'm 33 now. Like, well, I'm not like 24 years old where I don't really give a fuck about a whole lot. And, like, if I get beat up, I get beat up.
Reggie and I have a running conversation at Winsong about who he thinks he can beat up at Winsong and who he couldn't.
Who do you think you couldn't?
Who I couldn't
beat
up? Who
you couldn't beat up?
Rick Ayling.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, Rick
dude, Beef told me the other day he's, like, 250 right now. And he said that's light for him.
He's a big guy.
You said you couldn't beat up Rick. You said you couldn't beat up Tony.
No. No.
You couldn't. You couldn't beat up Mama.
No.
He's a mean guy. That guy's a mean guy, too. No. He's a badass. That guy's a badass. Mama's. Yeah, he's a badass.
I've seen Joe McGinnis out there get a little angry.
Joe's my guy.
People that disrespect him in front of his groups.
Yeah, Joe's my guy.
No, yeah, Joe's great. Like, it's
when it comes to people you could beat up, you pick, like, lowball, and it's like...
And me.
I would never beat those guys up.
I would
wrestle Otto. I would wrestle Otto.
Oh, we have the makings of something here.
I mean,
the most jacked guy
he's
at the club.
Yeah, but he's like a big guy, but I'm also a big guy too, but I'm not going to give up that easy. But, like, I just want to see, like, he's probably a good wrestler, but, like, I would still do it. I mean, I'm not really, like, I'm not scared of anybody. Like, if you want to wrestle, we can wrestle.
You're scared of Rick.
Well, okay, yeah.
What about, I have one.
I know what you're going to say, and that's a good one.
I'm going to say Cebu.
Oh, no chance. That guy's South African. South African, right?
Like, yes. Like,
No.
Oh, you don't want to mess with him.
No.
What about,
I don't
need. Stronger than a baboon.
Honestly, like, we got a lot of tough guys.
Kleinbrick would bag you.
Yeah, he might. Kleinbrick's nails. It's true.
This is insane.
It's true.
No, this is great content.
I mean, it's just like some of the best. Hey, it's fun. Hey, it's funny stuff, right? Like, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm a big guy.
Okposo would bang you.
Okposo's a member of Winsong?
Yeah, he's a national member.
I've never seen him there.
He'd beat the
He comes like
you.
Two times a year.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So you guys,
maybe this year I got a fight and I'll send you the video and be like, hey, look,
dude, you haven't fought in 7 years. I have a more recent fight than you do.
These two are my favorite to play golf with because this is what it is for 18 holes.
And I'm 5'9".
How many fights you been in pro?
Two.
How'd you do?
I'm 2-0.
Against who? And how big were
they? Smaller than I am.
That's all right. All right,
I'm not 6'4", man.
Hey, guy picks his fights.
Reel it back in here. So you guys are getting ready. You got the member coming out. What is that? That's in 2 weeks, right? 2.5 weeks.
It's in about 2.5 weeks.
I'm playing. I was just trying to recall the dates. So you guys are partners. What's the strategy going in? So I know it's always quota, right?
It's quota.
There's only one strategy. There's only one strategy that we have, and it's control the drink.
Control our drinking.
Control the drinking. Okay, so it has nothing to do with the actual golf part.
No, no. I think we're really confident on our golf side.
Yeah, because you've been sandbagging.
The handicap committee's not on my radar yet, so we're good, but.
Like the first year we played together, it was 2 years ago?
You know, yeah.
And more drinks, more drinks.
Yeah. We got a little too banged up the first day. I met my quota, and Reggie came in like 17 below his quota.
17 below his quota?
I'll take one too.
So, and we like, this was like my second. I mean, it was Reggie's first year. We didn't really know anybody at the club. So I figured who we played with in the first round, but then we got stuck with two really nice guys, but they were like probably like mid-60s. We had zero things in common.
Yeah,
and it's all Reggie's fault,
man,
how's
it my fault? You walk up to the member, and it's like we got a tequila bar there. There's drinks already going, man, and we're just trying to have a nice time.
Hey, he's kind of trying to fit in.
You know, like we're just trying to have a nice time.
We're gonna have to sound clip that.
Like, you know, that's all. Like,
well, so for people who don't know quota, so let's say you're exactly a zero. Right, so your quota is based on you essentially making par every single hole, which a par is worth 2 points. So if you're a zero, you're expected to make 18 pars, so your quota would be 36, right? That's the baseline that you start at. Double bogeys worth zero, bogeys worth one, pars worth two, birdies are worth four, and eagles are worth eight. And so, yeah, it's like a three, your quota is probably 30 points.
Yeah.
Right.
There.
So you've either got to make 15 pars or you've got to make like 12 pars and a birdie or two birdies.
Honestly, did not know that's how it worked.
Yeah. So that's how the quota system works.
We just show up. We're the kind of guys, we just show up and just tell us what to do.
But then when you go to the shootout, right, isn't it, is it three holes? They play three hole aggregate playoff.
I don't think it's, I can't remember if on the
18. Yes.
It's 1-2-18, but I can't remember if it's...
You get eliminated after...
Oh, yeah.
Correct. It's a shootout.
Yeah.
Anyways, I can't remember. One of them is alternate shot.
Okay.
I think member's alternate shot.
Member's alternate shot.
But I think if we get back to Reggie and I can limit the alcohol intake and we both have decent days, I think we'll have
it'll be in the mix.
A good shot.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, we go out, we have a nice, we're playing golf Friday, we're drinking, and then we feel the need to go out to go party. Yeah,
how about this?
3 a.m, then we're up at 7.
How about this year? After the member, after the Friday round, we'll all come out and we'll surf and we'll go to the Maynards just for a couple nice.
Yeah. That honestly
nice
sounds.
Yeah, but a couple really nice good ones can turn into a long
it can
night.
Can turn
well,
into
hey, that's where you got to control yourself.
Well, this is the issue. This
so here's a good question to ask. What is the perfect for you all alcohol to golf ratio, right? Like some people find that magic zone for like, you know, my buddy Roth, he says it's like 6 beers. That's his magic zone. And then over that it's done, but like it's 6.
He's
making
not drinking
birdies.
6 beers out there. No.
More?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Right. Well, he says that's him. What his magic is. What's your magic number? Is it like after 3, you're kind of feeling really good, and then over 3?
I mean, that's tough to say though, because you're golfing, you're out in the sun. Like what time are you playing? Are you eating?
All
like,
things or, equal. All, let's just, like, you know, it's standard. You know, like all things tough. Equal. 75, sunny,
okay, so
8 mph wind.
Before I'm what? Like just like feeling myself a little bit. And
yeah.
Just
where
a nice
where
day,
are but, you? Like Grant, I'm making birdie here, man. I'm feeling good. And the swing's still intact, right? You're.
Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, 5, 6, 7 drinks for sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm a big
you,
guy. I'm.
You know, the nice thing about the member is that the quotas adjust too. So, like,
the
if
next
you,
day.
If, mm-hmm. yeah, the second day. So,
good point.
You know, if you finish a couple under your quota the first day, then your quota actually reduces for the second. Because
the
day.
Goal is to keep everybody in it, right? No matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, correct.
Wait,
yeah.
Who are you guys playing the member with?
I'm with Jordan Entwistle. We're Team Jordan.
Tony, who's your partner?
Well, for the last couple of years, Dave Carruthers' mama has been my member.
Nail gun.
We're out with
partner. Yep. He's out on the bench this year. So Cebu and I are playing.
Wow.
We're gonna have a good time.
I heard Cebu quit drinking.
He hasn't drank for over a month. So now would not be the time to fight Cebu, I don't think.
I don't know if I'm... Yeah, I don't know. My partner quit... chewing tobacco, so that's maybe affected his golf game a little bit too.
There was no tobacco involved. It was quit chewing snus.
No more Zimbabwes?
No, we cut it off. So I was down in Chicago, played Butler with Jamie, played really well from the tips, ran out, and I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Just shut it down, cold.
Cold and turkey?
Yeah,
is that an issue, though?
And then I came back and shot 89, 85, 84, 89.
Oh,
so we have an order. There's
a direct
correlation. We got a shipment coming in on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's good. Smart, smart, really smart.
We got a case coming, all flavors.
Yeah. There's always like I ordered them in like packs of 10. I just ordered 50 of them.
Just keep it going until after the member.
There you go.
Just do what you got to do.
So, maybe we should just like you know we're coming up on about 40-45 minutes here. I think
already.
Yeah, I want to hear a little bit about kind of how you guys started playing golf and got more serious into golf.
So for me, like, you know, I grew up in Canada and, you know, hockey's kind of number one in Canada. And,
of course.
You know, every summer my grandparents would buy me and my cousin a membership at the local golf course or Muni, wherever, you know, they were living in the summertime there. So, every summer they would buy us a membership and we just go out and, you know, sleep over at grandma and grandpa's house and get up in the morning and play golf and just kind of repeat the days. So,
so for you it was an off season thing.
Yeah, it's always been an off season thing for me. I mean, my dad plays a lot of golf and he's been doing it forever too. So it's nice to, you know, get out with my dad and play golf, when we can and, you know, in the summertime and just kind of shut the brain off a little bit and get away from hockey and just get out there and have a couple of beers and play golf and have some fun. So, just kind of ever since for me, I mean, I picked it up and, you know, I love to do it and, you know, it's fun. Like Grant said, like, you know, you meet people, you know, you build relationships. Like maybe there's guys outside of, like hockey that don't play golf, but you got buddies that just strictly play golf in the summertime, and you kind of come home for the off season and you hang out with those guys, you know. It's just kind of like a, I don't know, I guess you're just, you know, doesn't always have to be hanging around hockey guys or what it is, right? So for me, it's just been something I've been doing ever since I can remember, and something I look forward to in the summertime and off season to kind of get away from things.
Kind of scared that Reg is going to get really good when he's done with hockey.
Well, like I said before, he's the biggest sandbagger at the club. So I've never seen, when he was playing before, he was at like a five? Couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was probably, about a...
He was playing as a five, hitting 14 fairways. And
dude, your driver's 12, gotten a lot better
12,
this year.
12 greens and shooting 76, and I was like, oh, yeah, we're a five.
Like 2 years ago, you were hitting, like, massive slices off the tee.
Yeah, like 230 yards.
I liked playing you better when you were doing that shit.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch your boys get better at golf, though, man. It just is. It's been fun to watch you play this year.
Like, I spent time in Boise, Idaho, and there's a ton of guys who just like spend their summers and off seasons there. They play on the Corn Ferry Tour, and you know, and those guys love hockey. They'll come watch hockey games, and then off days we go play golf with all these guys that play like Corn Ferry or Canadian Tour and whatnot. So, I mean, like they watch me hit a golf ball, and then it's kind of like, all right, put your driver in your hands at the top and kind of move your hand one direction, or maybe just kind of like, you know, make a few tweaks or, you know, the mechanic of your swing. So, you know, it helped a lot this year. And, I mean, playing hockey in cities that you play golf year-round helps too, right?
That
so
doesn't hurt.
You know, on your off days, you're out there playing golf and having fun and having beers. So, I mean, it's just, it's kind of a win-win, right? So,
What about you, Bess? Yeah. Like, you were, I mean, I don't know what it was like. It'd be awesome to get your take on this, but I know you were obviously really good at hockey in high school. That wasn't sarcastic earlier. Doesn't like hockey in Minnesota. I mean, I imagine it's similar
in Wisconsin
Canada.
And in professional.
Yeah. I imagine similar in Canada. Like you play it year round, right? So like, how do you get better in the or like play golf in the off season? Or like, how's that work? And how do you end up, you know, playing so much?
I mean, for me, growing up, like I didn't come from a family who golfed. My dad played collegiate baseball. My mom didn't golf. My brother played basketball. I obviously played hockey. My dad belonged to, I was at a country club, and he also belonged to Spring Hill. So I'd get out there every once in a while, but I was always playing baseball during the summer, so I never really, like, really got into it and played, like, consistently. It'd be like, oh, like, let's go play one time. We'll go play nine holes at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then it'll be 2 weeks before I pick up a club again. I really started getting into the game was in college. I had to go live in Madison for summer school, and we'd work out at like 8 in the morning, then skate at 10, and we'd be done by 12. And we could go play U Ridge, like university course where they hold the Farmers Insurance Champions Tour event.
Mm-hmm.
We could go play there 18 holes with a cart for like $20. So we just go play there like 5 days a week every time, like every day after skating. And one of the kids on our team, his name was Jake Linhart. His dad, Barry, was a club pro. I don't remember the name of the course, but it was outside of Milwaukee. And I remember asking, because I was a decent athlete, so I could, you know, figure out how to, like, get through the ball and stuff. And I could shoot, like, I'd hit, like, 80 to, like, 86 usually. But I could never really break that.
Somebody who hasn't played serious golf, that's really good.
And I remember there's a bar in Wisconsin we'd always go to at the college club. I don't know if you guys ever know Reggie's.
The KK?
Yeah.
Been to the KK.
Shout out, Jordan. I was there one night, and I went up to Barry, like, kind of in, like, a drunken stupor. And I was like, Barry, like, what the fuck? Like, I shoot 80 every fucking time I play golf. Like, what's my deal? Like, why can't I shoot in the 70s? He's like, do you ever practice? And I was like, no. I was like, is hitting like a couple irons and wedges before you go warm up, like, is that practicing? Then yes. He's like, no, that's not practicing. So he gave me some drills to do like my senior year, and I started working on it. And then once I was out of college playing professionally and had kind of the summers off, then I actually had time to like actually go and like try and work on shit. And then about probably last year is when I really started like focusing on trying to get better. I've kind of seen the fruits of that come to, you know, fruition this year, like getting down to, you know, a 1.1 at one point, like having like a 3-week stretch, like my worst round was like 76.
I'm not even trying to pump your tires here. Like, truthfully, I've heard multiple people that have made comments to me personally that said, like, dude, have you played with Grant? Like, he's gotten so much better just in like 1 year even. So, yeah, I mean, whatever you're doing now is working. I mean, you have a couple bad rounds, but
I can't hit the ball like you, Tony, but I can hit the ball far.
Nobody can.
Well, who can?
A long way. Like, and so, like, the driving and the, like, ball striking has never really been my issue. It's been short game putting. You know, that's where I've been saving a lot of strokes, like making those, you know, 12 footers for par where you miss the green or whatever. And that's,
yeah, I mean, I think that's probably applicable to both of you guys. You're both professional athletes that play a sport that you have to have unbelievable hand-eye coordination. So, I mean, that's a key aspect in the game of golf. So I think that you guys have both of that. Both of you have that in spades. I think it's exactly what you've just said, is like just working on the fundamentals, very, very simple shots, you know, 100 yards and in, just figuring out how to score from that angle.
And
you know,
and I mean, even when I saw what you and Aaron on the practice screen or the practice like chipping area that one time, you were just like just trying to be creative, trying to work on different shots that, you know, maybe utilize once around. Or once every other round. But when you need that shot, you're now comfortable and confident in trying to hit that shot.
Not trying something new on the course.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. Now I got to hit.
We've
like,
all
oh,
done that. And you're like, oh,
I
do that.
Flop shot, and I've never really tried that before.
I mean, we don't really do that, though. We don't, like, we just show up, we hit a couple balls, and then we just go play.
See, I think this is where my game is. My game has gone downhill because ever since you showed up.
That can't be true.
It is.
I never seen you go out there and just practice.
Because
really.
I have seen him.
You haven't
Once
seen
you
the
show
new
up,
best.
All you want to do is play. And I'm like, before you got here, I was like practicing like 2 days a week. Like I go out there. I wouldn't even play. I'd go out there for like 2 hours, chip, putt.
Because you didn't have anybody else to play with. You were waiting for me to get home.
That's why I got.
Yeah.
Good
well.
For
yeah.
Okay,
so don't put all the blame on me. At least, like, yeah, I get it. Like, you're like, hey, when are you coming home? Like, we gotta play.
It's
like,
half
yeah,
your fault. Right, half
well.
My fault.
Reg is continuing to take shots
for a team that probably going into the member would be a heavy Vegas favorite, one of the top five favorites, to get some inside look here into kind of what's going on behind the scenes from this
team. Honestly, very minor. The behind the scenes action is very minor.
I don't think I'm gonna be putting money on you guys.
Really? Wow.
I was going to, and now after seeing
that's so minor for us.
There's
we'll
a lot
back
of
and
banter.
Forth a little bit,
There's a lot
and
of
then
banter
we'll get out there.
On,
we'll have a cocktail, and we'll put our game face on, and we're gonna be ready to go.
Yeah,
as long as we have some Swedish snooze in the bag.
Exactly, we got to figure it out. Look out. Here, we got about 2 weeks here. We're about 2 weeks away, two and a bit weeks. So watch out for us.
I like where you
watch
guys.
Watch out for us.
I like where you guys are headed. We need to hear about how Reg and Bessie met. So. Bessie, give it to us. Give it to us.
So we were working out at the same gym. We were both playing.
In Minnesota? Well,
yeah, it's in Minnetonka, not too far from here, actually, right off 7.
Yeah.
Trainer by the name of Janie Pantaconek. I think that's how you say it. Sorry, Jamie, if I fucked that up.
Full strength, yes.
And I've been working out with Jamie for a long time, and all of a sudden I'm working out one day, and I see this guy come in with all his like, Minnesota Wild shit on. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I've never seen him in
a sweater.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've never seen this guy before. Like, I don't know the Wild. I don't think he plays for the Wild, but fair enough. And okay. I like meet him. He's like, "I'm Matt." And I'm like, "What's up, man? How you doing?" And we were skating one day, and like, I get this random text. He's like, "Hey, it's Matt from Full Strength. Like, heard you're a member at Windsong. Like, would you want to come play a round of golf with me, Ryan Malone, and Teddy Purcell?" And I'm like.
You know what you're in for with, like, that, with that group.
I was like, yeah.
You know what you're in for
like,
with that group.
I was like, oh, yeah, I think I met you once. But, yeah, like, I'm down to go play. And I meet him on the D-box, and we were playing and shit.
Didn't practice before or anything.
No, I came straight from skating, straight on the D-box. Pretty sure I topped my first D-ball. And, yeah, we had a funny time. Like, obviously, if you want to have, like, two guys to get on this podcast and to tell some, like, crazy stories.
Teddy and Bugsy.
Oh, my God. Like, some of the shit these guys were saying throughout this round is, like, yeah, you might have to edit some of that shit out.
Yeah, it's one of a kind shit.
But the one thing I'll remember out of that round was we were on 18 T-box. And obviously 18 kind of, like, is going this way, and then three is going off the other way.
Sure.
And we're all pretty banged up at this point. Yeah. And Bugsy's got, like, you know, you usually have, like, a speaker, like a small one that's, like, Bugsy has one that's, like, sitting in the back of the cart. And he's blaring Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did it all. Oh, yeah.
Nookie.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And he's like, we get on the tee box, and Bugsy's like, all right, for every beer you shotgun on the 18th tee box, that's how many mulligans you get.
Tall boys, too. Yeah. Tall boys.
That's how many mulligans you get.
Yeah.
So I did, like, two. Reggie did, like, two. Teddy did, like, three. And Bugsy did, like, seven.
Where'd you get all these beers from on it?
So he's an airdrop guy out there, right? Like, he just calls me.
Yeah,
hey,
before
we need one unders. We need a bucket of beers. We need all this stuff.
And he's like, Limp Bizkit's blaring.
Yeah, he's break stuff, Limp Bizkit.
What hole are you on? Like, oh, we're 18 fairways.
Yeah,
like,
18.
You know,
yeah, but it was like, it was a tee box. We were, like, kind of finishing out. It was like.
And there's like this.
It was late at night. Like, later at night.
There's like this group of two older gentlemen are teeing off on three.
Yeah.
And they're like walking. They might have been with their wives. I don't know. I don't really remember. It was a foggy day. But these guys are looking over at us like, what the fuck is going on over there? Because, like, you know Bugsy. Like,
I did it all. Oh, yeah.
He's got, like, tattoos everywhere. And they're what the fuck is going on? And so we're all there just like, there's, what, seven? There's, like, 15 beer cans.
Yeah,
we're
just not kind of throwing them all down for mulligans on 18
with,
for, like, really
with
nothing.
With Fred Durst, like, just
really, like, yeah, for nothing.
You know,
really.
I got a chainsaw.
Yeah, you're not playing for money. Nothing.
No, we're just like, we're out there telling stories, having fun time, and, like, we're just like drinking
right.
All the
exactly. It is like these guys.
We're
like,
drinking all the
like,
drinks.
What the fuck?
Like, there's airdrops every three holes. Bugsy's got airdrops coming in every three holes, and we're just like hammered on 18.
And I think everyone's first tee ball went like almost hit the Murphy house.
Yeah, we were directly right. Yeah, like, lucky. That's like,
yeah.
But, like, no, 20 times louder
dude,
on
dude,
18.
Dude, I think it was just like this by Limp Bizkit. It's what they opened up with in 99 Woodstock. So nails.
So you guys.
Yeah, this is what's on
exactly
the T-Box.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Why Bugsy's doing tall boy beer, shotgunning tall boys. Like, it was
and
priceless.
These old guys are trying to tee off on three, and they're looking over like, what is going on?
This was like our first year we joined there, too. I'm pretty sure we were members there.
Year.
It was just like, and it was like, oh my like, God. What is happening here? And then, like, I don't know. Like,
I want to know how many balls went into the water.
Oh, all the mulligans were used.
Yeah,
hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No one played that hole the way it was supposed to be played.
And then we just
best
continue to work out together and skate then, and then just play golf.
And now you drive. And now Bessie drives you wherever you
and
want
now
to go.
Well, yeah. For Reggie, wherever he wants to go. And you want to go to Target? Oh, I got to get a piece of salmon. Oh, let's go to Chipotle.
It is funny, man. Everybody's got those two buddies that, like, they're at the hip. Like, that's.
I mean, we're on the way home anyway, so we might as well make a stop or two and just kind of.
But it's every time. It's not like every like once a week. It's like, oh,
I'm like a I'm like a
every single time.
I'm not a planner kind of guy though. I just like kind of like. Day of,
oh,
day
well
of, just kind
of
like. Well, no, yeah. we're aware of that because who's driving you to the airport tomorrow morning? My buddy Grant over here.
Who drove you to Second Swing today? Who drove you to?
Yeah, but no, hold on a second.
Why
who
second
drove
swing?
You
to? Because we were done tinkering.
No, it's not me. This guy, he had three bad rounds and he's breaking clubs over his knees. So that is on him for sure. No, some of those trips are on him and be like, hey, you want to come with me? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, I want to come because I got nothing better to do. So I'm coming along for sure. I want to come check some stuff out a second swing. Why this guy's getting a new shaft because he's got to go to Montana this week for a bachelor party for Jay. Ooh, Jay Phillips, fellow Windsong member as well. Jay's bachelor party in Big Sky. Kind of some nails clubs you're going to play out there.
Yeah, huh? Where are you playing?
We're playing two rounds at Big Sky Golf Club. Just like two, like, it's just a public course, and then because of the. I guess residents that we're staying at whatever resort, we get access to Spanish Peaks, which apparently is an awesome
course.
And then I'm trying to finagle my way out onto the Yellowstone Club, whether or not that happens.
Grant's going to go down there. He's going to hit driver 58-degree wedge putter because of how far that altitude is and how far his ball is.
Well, we
fly.
Talked about
once we get it figured out a little bit, it's going to be
driver 58 back into the fairway, then 58 onto the green.
Yeah,
two
all right. Bogey.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
If you could find your way on the Yellowstone Club, that would be incredible.
Unbelievable.
Well, I've heard Drake talk about the Yellowstone Club, and he's like, it's...
Well, where what doesn't Drake talk about, though? Like, he's been everywhere. That guy's
that's a guy you got to get on here.
Yeah, that guy is.
Dio would be a good guy. You know, the only guy who plays more places would probably be Johnny's dad, Jamie. So
yeah.
Jamie's got, he's probably got some
Johnny's
connection
just committing
on Yellowstone.
To Jamie getting Bessie on Yellowstone, like there's actually a good chance he would do it.
But the worst part was, it's like, so I was down at Butler with Jamie last weekend, and he treated me, well, I guess not treated me, but like set
Did
up the
cashmere?
Whole the whole Bettinardi experience.
Yeah.
So I went there and got this fancy putter with a fluorescent purple shaft.
Now we got lead tape on our new Bettinardi putter.
Why do you have lead tape on your putter?
Yeah.
Because it's lighter than my other one, and I leave everything short.
We're not loving it. We're a tinker over there, too. We got a lot of stuff going on over there, too.
Well, let me finish my fucking story.
All right, sorry.
We got up to Butler. I got this brand-new putter. I'm like, this thing's going to be awesome. Like, Jordan's talked about it. Andy's talked about it. Like, once you go to this place, like, your putter's dialed in. So, like, I'm going to be so fucking good with this thing. And I get out there. I don't think I made a putt outside of 3.5 feet.
Oof.
And then even Jamie and who we were playing with were like, they're like, you spent that amount on that putter and can't make shit. And Butler Place is probably the hardest golf course I've ever played in my life.
It's known to be one of the toughest courses around. I mean, they used to host Western Amateur there or Western Open there, and it was always one of the toughest places on
if,
tour.
If you hit the ball, Tony, have you played there?
Yeah.
And Jordan, you play there. Reggie, sucks to suck.
Not yet.
but yeah, if you hit it in the rough off the tee, it's like you're fighting for bogey.
Yep.
Because I was like hitting 7-iron of that, like hit my 7-iron, like, I don't know, like 190 yards. And out of that rough, it's like if it goes 50 yards, like, that's a good shot.
You're feeling
all
right. You're feeling good about it, yeah.
But yeah, that place is incredible.
So we had Angus on, and he was talking about his round at out at Butler. What did he say he shot again? I think he literally shot from the tips like 67 or something like that.
Wow. 500 or 600. Wow.
Well, that's what was
tied the course record.
That was what's crazy for me is like I didn't really understand this. So we went out there and I was playing with Jamie, one of his buddies. What's his name? John. It's your dad's buddy from like high school. Yeah, John Mitchell.
Oh yeah.
And Tristan Nelko, and then a guy Jamie met. His name's Herm. He's Norwegian. I'm not gonna be able to pronounce his last name. And so Jamie, like being the host, he's like, "Hey, like you're playing back there with those guys." And I'm like, "Jamie, did you not see what I did the previous day?" I'm like, all right, I'll play from 7,500. Fine.
Yeah.
Like driver was not the issue. And we get to two. We all parred one, get to two. I hit like a nice tee ball, probably like 310.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan hit one like 320. And this Herm guy, like Jamie's been telling me all these stories about this guy. And he's like, he mashes the ball. He's like, I was like, well, who's better ball speed, him or you?
Yeah.
He's like, it's probably similar.
Oh, really?
And I shit you not, 315 down the middle of the fairway, he outdrove me by 55 yards.
Really?
It was incredible. Like, it's you hear guys like who play really good golf, Division I, pro. It sounds different off the club. And he didn't hit driver on one. He hit like an iron. So I hadn't seen him hit driver, and when he hit his driver, I was like, holy shit, that is different.
What driver did he use?
He's sponsored by Ping, I believe, so whatever the newest Ping model is. The
LSD, 430.
That's what you're using?
That's what I want. Yeah, that's what I want Tony to use.
Yeah. The TSR3, which I got probably about a month ago, has done wonders for my game.
I love that. That's the driver that I have. But
and I don't know if it's necessarily, like before I was using the Hazardous Smoke black shaft, and then I got fit into the Blue Ventus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the shaft, I didn't realize how much the shaft actually makes a difference in terms of driving the ball. I always thought like, manufacturers of clubs put so much, R&D into these driver heads. But at the end of the day, I feel like the driver heads are all pretty much very similar.
They've been maxed out. Like from this, if you hit the center of the club face, they've been maxed out for 20 years. Yeah. Like how far the ball can go from the center of the club face. So now it's really just about expanding that sweet spot. So, but you're 100% spot on. Like this is kind of the next generation of where everybody's going to get better is dialing in shafts and, right. and all of those types.
Hit a 10x and then hit a 6x shaft and see what happens.
Yeah, the shaft for me has been, I think, one of the biggest. Cause ever since I got like even like the start of this season, I was probably. Before I got that driver, I was probably like high 70s mm-hmm. pretty consistently. And then once I got that, it was like, oh, we're transitioning into low 70s just because we're in the fairway. The majority of the time, we're out there 300 yards or so. You have a wedge in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're out, if you're hitting it, you know, and it's in play, and you're going to have a lot of wedges in mm-hmm. playing from the blues.
Especially when proximity is going to be closer, going to two putt yeah. more, going to one putt more.
Well, that's even what I noticed at Butler is like, and even Jamie's, the caddy, Johnny, I don't know if you remember his name. Berkey, yes. So Berkey goes to me on the second day. He's like, hey, like when I was playing from the tips, he's like, honestly, I think this is going to be easier for you
yeah.
than playing from the one up tees just because like a lot of the bunkers and the landing
out
spots.
Of play.
Are going to be way wider from where you're at. And he was right. Like I shot 80 from the tips at Butler, which I was like, oh, like, and it could have been.
That's great. I mean, I think the course rating at Butler is like 78
yeah,
or something.
So 80 from the tips is a 1.2 handicap.
Yeah.
Which was
so,
like,
so it was like 78 something.
Like, what?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
An 80 from the tips at Butler is a one.
Yeah. So think about what a 67 is.
Per Angus plus 10.
It's literally a plus 11.
And then Berkey was telling me, he's like last, I don't know if it was last, the year before that, he's like, yeah, from here, Colin Morikawa shot 83.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm basically Colin Morikawa.
I'm pretty sure it was like, it was
better than Colin Morikawa.
Yeah,
that's
nails.
Saying.
I think yeah. when I played there, they really told, said that story yeah. about, cause there was an event in Chicago. And so like as a practice run, I think he played there and shot like 83, like you just said. So it's like just kind of gives you an idea as how difficult the course is.
So we went from just a little 3-minute tangent on how Bessie and Reg met to Grant being a better golfer than Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, it is. Checks out. Numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie.
Straight.
I basically could be a 2-time major winner.
Yeah. The numbers don't lie.
Attaboy. All right. We'll cut it off.
All right. Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thanks, guys.